Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam. Here is Danielle.
Hi.
How you feeling?
Drunk.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
I was going to be mad at you because, as usual, you took way too long to get this started. And so, of course, you said, I'm going to shower. So I said, okay, I'll pour a drink and then I'll wait till you're done. And here we are 2 hours later.
No, I didn't even do my hair or anything.
So okay, but you made me wait to start recording.
Well, we had some wine last night. We watched Defending Your Life with the Kids.
If you have not seen that movie.
I hope there aren't people who haven't seen that
movie. If you have not seen that movie, go stop. Don't stop listening to us. But after you're done, go watch this movie.
I was happy. When we put it on, it was a crapshoot, as it always is when we put on movies that we've watched that we love and we want our kids to see. But we put this movie on and the kids really liked it.
They did.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I was so excited for them to like it because how could you not like this movie?
Well, except that it's so dated.
You know what? I think it holds up. I mean, there's a lot of 90s going on in there, but
I guess the idea of heaven being somewhere you can like eat.
Well, it's not heaven. It's purgatory.
But it's heaven to me. I would stay there for the rest of my
it
life.
It is heaven, but it's
no
not.
Calories is heaven to me. It holds up in any situation.
Right.
But yeah, that was nice. And it was enjoyable. Like we were drinking wine and the kids, all three kids were like watching it and asking us questions and enjoying it. And those were like the quarantine moments that I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't so bad.
I think it's possible. I'm not sure. We may have opened a fourth bottle last night.
See, I didn't need to know that.
I don't know. We barely touched the fourth, but right. I think we opened it.
I feel like we've been semi-responsible with the drinking.
Yes. What do you mean?
Just that we're not drinking every day.
No, we're not drinking every day. I can't.
But when we're drinking, we're drinking.
Yeah, well, Well, we asked a lot of questions to our Instagram community and if you're drinking more, if you're not. Like, I think we're definitely drinking more, but we're not drinking every day, like you just said. But when I do, even if you're not, like if you go to bed.
You're drinking a lot more than I am.
I am. But I can't just like have a glass of wine and be like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to bed. Like I'm a bottle and a half in if I'm drinking. Mm-hmm. And I can't drink less. I can't drink more. It's a bottle and a half, and then...
And it's hard to convince yourself not to because, like, you're not driving. You're not even Ubering anywhere. You're not even going anywhere in public. Granted, I have text messaged people drunk and embarrassed myself.
I am fully aware.
Yes, more than once. But at least I'm not going out in public and embarrassing myself. So, like, there's very few reasons to convince yourself not to do it right now.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when it comes...
Obviously, unless you know that you have an issue and then you're not doing it.
Of course. Yes. But, you know, under normal circumstances, you know, if it's the weekend and I know it's, you know, tomorrow is Saturday and I don't have to worry about anything or it's Sunday and I'll drink that bottle or the bottle and a half. But like now it's like I have nothing to do tomorrow. If I laid in bed all day... What did I not do?
Well, you've done a lot of podcast work, but you've been able to drink while you're doing it.
Yeah, I've been very busy
with the podcast.
Extremely busy. Like, you know, luckily I am way too ADD and type A to just, if I had nothing to do, I don't know what our situation would be. I'd be out of my mind. Like, and you know that. Like, mm-hmm. When this whole thing first started, you know, I was just pacing around the house. And do you remember that?
Yeah, like, you were a lurker.
you would look over and I was there.
Yeah.
And like, what are we doing? What do you want to do? And but we switched over to a new podcasting hosting company. So it took a lot of work, a lot of days, a lot of hours for me to get this. I had to go through every episode, get it all ready. So I had a lot going on. So at least that kept me busy. And also because of my business, we're closed right now. A lot of you know that I'm in retail, but you know, I'm in a family business and we're not essential, so we can't be open. So I'm prepping to be ready for when we're allowed to be open, because I think a lot of people are going to still be like, hey, I like this delivery thing. I like this curbside pickup thing. Maybe I'm not going into stores. So I've been working on the website for our store just to make sure product is on there for people to be able to go on and shop, because now they're used to just sitting home. And
I think a lot of things are going to change in the future as far as like convenience goes. I think a lot of people are realizing now that in so many ways, the stuff that we're doing all of a sudden working from home, like whereas before you would feel guilty for taking quote unquote a day off to work from home, you know, if your kid was sick, I think now people are realizing, or I'm hoping that companies are realizing, that this is totally doable. Like, if your kid is sick and you need to, that shouldn't count as a day off. You're still home doing work, and it's like companies are still thriving even though people are not coming into like the brick and mortar place of business.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate because, you know, brick and mortar business is kind of the backbone of our economy, and it's sad, and that's what I'm in. And that, you know, so that's been my stress through this whole thing about, we'll get into a lot of that coming up soon in the episode, but a lot of it, you know, everybody was kind of gearing towards shopping online anyway. That's why Amazon is what Amazon is, because people like it. We're no different. You know, even as an owner of a brick and mortar business, we're still Amazon online shoppers. But I think people are more now engaged with, I mean, how many people are going to go to grocery stores anymore now that they know Instacart is a thing where they didn't before? Or other businesses who are local businesses who are now delivering and doing curbside.
I'm not talking about retail. I'm talking about, you know, people who work in finance or people who work in industries where you're going and then you're sitting in a cubicle doing your work. But then if you need to work from home one day, it sort of counts as a sick day, or, you know, if you're like taking, okay. I'm talking more about the businesses that people always said you need to go into work. I'm hoping right. that now it's going to be, working from home is going to be a lot easier to convince your, you know, the upper management, the bosses, that that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's so many jobs. If like, if we're not talking retail, if we're not talking, you know, food industry, you know, like those kinds of corporate type jobs, like why do you need to be in an office?
Well,
like,
I think what a lot of people are realizing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny how, you know, back in, you know, the 80s or the 90s, you know, cubicles were the thing for office jobs. And then, you know, companies like Google or whoever, like they got rid of cubicles. They made it real relaxed. And like, I feel like cubicles are going to come back now because you need the separation in case you sneeze.
We'll go across.
And like cubicles are going to come back.
Right. But I wanted to just... it's so hard to navigate right now what to talk about, right? Because usually we talk about aspects of marriage or parenting or life that right now sort of seems irrelevant in the state of what's going on. Like, do people really want to talk about, you know, we've done a lot of episodes that we've pre-recorded that I'm like, does anybody care now? So navigating what to put out is much harder right now.
Yeah, realizing what's relevant.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you want to hear another quarantine podcast? Or like, you know, that's all we hear about,
well,
on the news.
Well, more medical. Like, I don't want to, you know, and I watch a ton of news right now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
So I just wanted to do a catch-up episode where we sort of check in with everybody. We did a bunch of polls that I'll talk about. And just to sort of like, you know, a connection of we're all dealing with the same thing. And that is one thing about this crisis that is different than so many other crises when you have, you know, an earthquake or, you know, stuff that happens in an actual, like, location. This is all across the country, all across the world. Everybody's dealing with it. So we're all sort of feeling similar things. So I thought if we just do a rundown of where are we right now, that would be good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I asked you a bunch of questions. I said, what has been the hardest thing so far about quarantine?
Well, for me, not working. I mean, that's the hardest thing.
Not going to work.
Not going to work. I haven't had an income in 2 months. And so I'm very stressed about that. I'm very stressed about what work is going to be like when we reopen, what business is going to be like. So on my mind is just making sure that, or what can I do to make sure that when we go back to work, it's, you know, back to my everyday routine, back to doing things the way that I knew how to do them. Do I have to navigate to a new route of doing things differently now, like I was talking about? Do I need to offer more curbside and more deliveries? Are things going to change when things are quote unquote normal again? You know, mm-hmm. So the hardest thing for me has just been, you know, work related, like so many of you guys out there, you know, so many people out there who, you know, the unemployment rate is just beyond right now. So it's kind of the same thing that everybody's going through. What's work going to be like when we get back to work? Mm-hmm. So that's been the hardest thing that I've been dealing with.
The unknown.
Well, not just the unknown, but how to, it's kind of like kind of cool. Like on one level of like, how can I restructure my business to change with what I think is coming? You know, so that's been kind of fun for me actually, because I love doing the online stuff. I love the website stuff. I love doing that. But the unknown, I guess, being, well, am I going to come back into business at 60%, 70%? You know, what's it going to be like when I open day one compared to when I closed, you know, three mm-hmm. months ago?
Right. Yeah, I just said not, for me, not a moment of being alone.
Okay, so you took it to there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's been the hardest thing for me is literally I'm used to, as a stay-at-home mom, I am used to having time alone. Like, mm-hmm. literally, I mean, I have the dogs here always, but literally, like, at least a few hours at a time where, you know, I sit down on the couch and I'm like, holy shit, there's, like, nobody here, nothing, you know, nobody asking me for things. And our kids have been phenomenal through this, but I am for sure like the one who's getting the brunt of the, you know, I can't sleep or I need a snack or I can't open the milk or all these little.
I don't agree with
really?
You. I think the sleep thing.
Yeah,
yes.
That's huge.
It is huge. I'm not dismissing that in any way, but you are not getting the brunt of, this is not mommy time.
Right. You're right.
I think I'm hearing daddy
more. Yeah, you're
more
hearing daddy more
often
than ever.
I think I'm hearing daddy more than mommy.
Okay, calm yourself down.
The sleep thing. That sucks. I don't want that. I get it. But
it's not just sleep. It's from 9 o'clock on. It's like I hear our kids screaming in the basement during Fortnite or whatever he's playing, and I'm the one who goes down and is like, okay, no, this is not okay. Yeah, but you are definitely more than ever a participant of like parenting, I have to say.
I would agree with you.
You are, yeah. For sure.
But I just want to comment on what you said. I've never had that alone time feeling. Like, I don't have a day of alone time. I've never had, like, when I'm at work, there's no alone time. There's no, and I think now more than ever, maybe I've gotten a little spoiled to some extra alone time because I'm home, where you were saying, you know, you don't get it because you, when the kids go to school, you're alone, you have the dogs, you have like, so you're kind of used to that. But if I have like an hour out of the day, which I never had before, I appreciate it. You know, like that for me is, I never had this kind of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
I really fucking like it, but now I'm so used to it. I get so mad when, like, if I'm expecting some alone time and I'm getting called, daddy, if you can do this, can you do that, you know,
right.
Like it can get overwhelming, but I can appreciate the fact that you're used to alone time and now you don't have it.
Yeah. There's a lot of just, I think so many people out there can relate. There's a lot of just not a second of being by yourself. I mean, the privacy aspect, like, you know, no. I was sitting recording an ad for Vush, which is, I'm giving them a free shout out right now, but which is a sex toy company that I really like. And I very much, you know, am an advocate of them and everything, but I don't know that I'm ready to like explain it to my 11-year-old. And I was sitting down doing the ad and he comes over and I'm just like so used to being able to do that with nobody here. And he comes over and he picks it up. He picks up like the pink sex toy,
really?
Thankfully I had washed.
He picked it up?
He picked it up and he's like, oh, what's this? Because I'm just not used to like people being in my business. You know, I'm used to being able to do that when he's at school and he picked it up and he's like, what is this? And I had to be like, it's a grown up kind of thing. I'll tell you when you're a little older.
Like an ear cleaner.
Electric ear cleaner. A vibrating ear cleaner. And I was just like, I just said to him, I was like, it's something for adults. I'll explain it when I'm older. And luckily he was like, okay, fine. I'm going to go downstairs and play video games.
Right.
But you know, those kinds of things that I take for granted of like, we have our business is a little more risque and we do some things that are not, you know, quote unquote, like for children. And now I have to sort of adapt to that as a explicit podcast who does explicit things on our social media channels and, you know, stuff that I don't usually think about and have to worry about.
Well, yeah, especially now when we're all just home. So it's hard for us like podcasting right now. Mm-hmm. We have to plan this. We have to make sure, you know, our youngest, you know, he's upstairs or, you know, Ian is downstairs playing for, like, we have to plan this out. There's no time that is easy just to be alone and do this.
Right.
So.
All right. Talk to me about your stress level and people at home. I want you to think about it. Like if you had to rate your stress level right now on a scale of 1 to 10, what would it be? And what are you doing to manage it? How are you managing it?
You asking me?
I'm asking you and I'm asking the people at home. Like, I want people at home to think about it too. Like, how often do we stop and say, okay, my stress level is actually at an 8, so I probably should be thinking about how I'm going to make it better.
Okay.
Or my stress level's at a 4. Wow, maybe quarantine's really working for me.
Well, I feel like my stress has been in like a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
I have my ups and downs constantly. I mean, so we've been here for... What month is it? Is it May now?
I think we're at like 40, almost 50 days.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And they go so fast now.
Yes.
You don't think
no.
so? I Both. Think they go so fast. But I have days where I'm just like, okay, I'm good. Everything's fine. Like I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just going to relax today and whatever. And I feel fine. You know, I'm at a 3 or I'm at a 4, you know. There's always in the back of my mind things, you know, with work and with, you know, home and, you know, I'm stressed about whatever, but I try to press it down, you know, like push it down into my gut. But then I have days like, and it could come out of nowhere where the next day I just wake up and I'm like, fuck everybody. Don't look at me. I need to be alone. I need to rest. Let me just go binge watch something. Leave me the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. And it's, not so much that like something changed so much from day to day. It's just a bizarre, weird levelness of my stress that just, is it like a bipolar thing? Like I'm good and
God,
then I'm not.
No,
and then I'm,
it's
like,
a quarantine thing.
But I'm trying to relate it to something that's understandable. You know, like I'm good and then I'm not. And then I'm good and then I'm not. Like it's a role, like it's literally just up and
that's
down.
That's totally relatable.
Is that normal
for
everybody?
Yeah, because I never know how I'm going to wake up right now.
Right.
It's a crapshoot. Like, am I going to wake up? You know, and there was one day where we both woke up shitty.
Yes.
And that was terrible, horrible. We both woke up and I'm like used to you being the rock through all of this. And I woke up and I was in a terrible place. And then you woke up and you came downstairs and you were in the same place. And I was like, fuck. like neither of us are capable of parenting today.
Right. Like, but that's neither, okay. Just one day.
It's always okay. I think right now it's all okay. What you're, if you are surviving and your kids are, you know, healthy and making it through, this does not define your parenting.
Of course,
this
yeah,
does not
of course
define
not.
You as a human being. This is survival. And there are times when I go into my room and I say to the kids and I'm like, you know, I need to be alone right now. Like, I need some time to.
It doesn't come across quite that nicely as you're portraying it right now.
Right, but
it's more
I
like,
want
get the
them,
fuck out of here. Yeah. I need to be the fuck alone.
Yeah, I do.
I know. I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
But no, sometimes we need to just, like, I don't know, for just holding back some days and just repressing the anger and the frustration.
All right, so if someone said to you right this second, what is your stress level 1 to 10, what would you say?
Today, right now?
Yeah.
Probably like a 6, right. Which is good. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
I'd say on average, I'm probably, you know, 5, 6. Sometimes I'm 3, sometimes I'm 9, sometimes, you know.
And you are not on medication right now.
I'm not.
Right.
No.
Which is impressive.
I don't think I should be. I don't think I need.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. Right?
As a doctor, I'm telling you,
well,
you're okay.
But you've seen enough doctors that you're kind of well.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
That...
I upped my meds.
Did you up it?
I did.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that.
I don't need to tell you that. I did. I upped my meds.
Does it help? Do you think you notice a
difference? I don't know. Not yet. Not yet. It was just a few days ago.
Well, why? No. Why do you think you need to up your meds?
Oh, I think my anxiety for not my OCD has not been bad. Like, considering what is going on. No, as somebody, as a sufferer of OCD who like has had, I mean, hand washing things in the past where my hands have been blood raw, you know, and chemical things, me worrying about chemicals with the kids and, you know.
Just drink them, though. You'll be fine.
Right,
from
right.
The virus.
Right, exactly. Let's just ingest some bleach and it'll be all good.
That's enough. That's enough of the political stuff.
So, that's not political. All right. Okay, so I just, you know, I first of all, I have to play defense a little bit. I don't want to get to that point where I'm like, oh, shit, I should have upped my meds. And also, like, I think that we have some added anxiety, which I would like to talk about if you'll let me. We have decided, well, I feel like we need to take a break, but we have decided something kind of big before this all happened, and now it's sort of rolling into what's happening now. So
okay.
let's take a break and we'll come back.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, that's a good
I'm so good.
Okay, right back.
This week is Teacher Appreciation Week. We have Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, graduations. And even though we can't all be together to celebrate this year, doesn't mean that we can't do really special things for one another and show each other just how much we love one another. And Lovebook is the perfect item for this. Everyone has a unique love story. And Lovebook's book building system lets you tell that story by listing all those special reasons why you love a person. You choose a cover and edit the title. You make your characters look like you. You choose pages and personalize them. Lovebook is fantastic for your significant other, but it's also good for all occasions. And with the kids home right now, it's also an awesome activity for them to do for their grandparents, their teachers, because you make these characters. They're so adorable. You choose body type, hairstyle, facial expressions. It's so creative. And of course, when I was making my book, I had to make it super inappropriate because that's who I am as a person. And Lovebook just gives you the room to do anything you want to show somebody how you feel. So if you head to lovebookonline.com/capital MNM and put in promo code capital MNM20 for 20% off. That's lovebookonline.com/capital MNM, promo code capital MNM20 for 20% off. Go send somebody something really special to show them how much you miss them, how much you're thinking about them and love them today. I first learned about Greetable when last summer I was looking for something to send my daughter at sleepaway camp that wasn't too over the top, but just a little something that showed her that I was thinking about her and I loved her. And I went to Greetable, and it's this online gifting company that makes it so easy for you to send unique gifts to people you love. And my favorite thing about Greetable is that you can personalize each one. You select a design, you add a message, and a few photos of you or you and the person together, and then you choose which gift you want to go inside your gift box. The designs are so adorable and beautiful, and it really is like sending somebody a little box of happiness. Once you do all that, Greetable hand packages your gift and sends it off. And here's the best part. It's totally affordable. You can send the whole thing for around $20. They have a huge selection of brand new Mother's Day cards designs. There's something for every woman on your list. Grandma, mother-in-law, your bestie's mom, who's like your second mom. And there's this Miss Your Face design, which is also perfect right now during quarantine to send some long-distance love. The little gifts you can pick for inside the boxes are so cute, from little candies to a pin, lip balm, the cutest little surprise. And it's also perfect for Teacher Appreciation Week, graduation, literally every occasion. And when you go to Greetable.com, that's Greetable.com, and put in MNM at checkout, you're going to get 15% off your first order. That's Greetable.com, Greetable. Put in promo code MNM for 15% off your first order. Go check it out. You're going to love it.
All right. So that was some cliffhanger. So do you want to
Yeah, I first of all
elaborate?
Just said to you, are we too drunk to be doing this?
I said from the beginning, so I apologize up front. We're a few drinks in already. And
right. But I feel like it's kind of relatable right now.
Right?
Yeah, like, isn't everybody drunk right now?
They should be.
No, stop that. I hate when you say that. No.
Oh. You no. should not be.
No.
Oh.
If it's a comfortable feeling for you. So before this even happened, we've spoken about how many times we've moved in the past. And if you've listened to our Keeping Up with the Joneses episode, you heard that Adam was obsessed with having this huge house. And we really fought for like a year and a half over him having this house, that he claimed was for us, but it was really for him. And it caused a lot of distress in our lives and in our marriage. And it led to a lot of financial difficulties for us. We moved to a somewhat smaller house that's still pretty big and has a ton of landscaping to, you know, keep up with, a lot of square footage.
Well, let me interrupt. The house that I wanted to buy, the big one that we built. So we built this enormous house that had nothing because it was just being built by a builder. And so there's nothing there. There's no landscaping. There's no anything. And it's enormous. And we did like one room and we're like, we can't fucking afford this. We need to go.
Yeah, we couldn't furnish it.
So let's find something that's just done. Like beautiful, nice, done. We don't have to do anything.
Well, that didn't happen.
Well, we found this house.
And we did it a ton.
Well, we didn't do a ton.
It was covered in lace when we bought it. It was a nursing home.
Okay, but the landscaping was done. The pool was done.
Whoever owned the house. But you still have to maintain that shit.
Well, okay, but I wasn't thinking clearly then.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we decided, you know, we've been talking for a while about downsizing and how much easier it would make our lives on so many levels. And we have three kids going to college, hopefully, in the next, you know,
possibly
10
if
years.
College is open again.
Maybe. Just a lot of things. We were traveling from the podcast. I want to be able to go back to LA. We go to New York a lot. And we were like, let's just, you actually came to me one day and we're like, mm-hmm. we should sell our house. Mm-hmm. And I know what that took, the courage that took for you to say that to
months
me.
Of
because
crap.
Every time we've moved, my OCD spikes, my anxiety spikes. I just fucking hate moving. I hate going to a new house. I could give a shit how big a house is. I just want to be able to enjoy life and spend money on the things I want to spend money on. I don't want to be house poor, which is what we have been for the last 5 years, or 10 years, I should say. So you came to me, you said it, and I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah,
yes.
You were very.
Well, thank you.
I can't even imagine how accommodating you were when you were like, I understand.
Mm-hmm. I've okay, always said my famous phrase is always, if he moves again, he's moving alone.
Right.
So a little bit I'm all talk because now I'm moving with you.
Well, thank you.
So
I want you to come with me.
A little bit I have been like, if he moves again, he's moving alone. And people are always like, oh, yeah, you know, that makes sense. And I'm sort of like, no, I really mean it. And now I'm like, well, I don't want you to move alone. I want to be with you. especially since you've been my bitch through all of this. So I especially...
God damn. We're going to get into that, by the way.
Okay. So we decided that we were going to move. So we put our house... This is all before the pandemic. This is what, like January?
Mm, yeah.
We put our house on the market. First of all, the market in our area is not great to begin with. We put our house on the market. We got a few offers. They were super low. We got one that worked. And we said yes.
No.
Oh. No, all wrong. Scratch that.
We were standing at a very strict point of where we would accept and where we would not. And the offers that were coming in were below what we were willing to accept. So we were holding our ground. And then pandemic hits. And then we hear nothing. Obviously, nobody's going looking at houses.
Yeah, we're like, it's done. We're stuck here.
We're done. Like, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And then I think about a month into this, we got a call from our realtor saying there was a couple that came and they saw your house. They had to sell their house. They did. They're interested. Here's the offer. No negotiation. So well below what we wanted. It actually happened to be what we paid for the house. So anything we did to the house is washed. Mm-hmm. Like gut.
So anyway, so we wanted to downsize. We had a house in mind that we were going to gut and renovate, which would have been obviously in a pandemic, a ridiculous situation. That fell through, which I was devastated about because we just had a plan and that's all I wanted. I wanted a plan. I wanted to know where I was going. I wanted to know we had a home. Mm-hmm. Originally when this happened, we were sort of like, well, if we have to stay with your mom a few months, that will be okay because, you know, it's the summer and the kids don't need to, you know, they're not in school anyway, or they're at sleepaway camp. Obviously now we can't stay with your mom. She's elderly and we don't want to put her at risk. So that all fell through and I was literally mortified. I mean, I was,
well, yeah, because we were for sure we were buying this house.
Yeah.
Like for three.
No,
like for
you
2 months.
For sure.
Well, okay. So for 2 months, we knew, like I was in contact with the homeowner. There was no realtor involved. It was like a done deal. Mm-hmm. And then
last minute, it
was just destroyed.
Yeah. He just basically, his wife texted us and was like, not even that nice about it. No. And was like,
it was
we're
a
not
bad
moving.
Situation.
We're not moving. Right. And we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So now we're homeless in a pandemic. Our house is sold. Hopefully, we're still hoping that that goes right through. And we're like, we have nowhere to move.
Yeah.
So my best friend, when she was moving, there was nothing for sale where she was. So she literally made up a letter and put it in every mailbox of a house that she was interested in her area, saying, "We are moving. We want to be on your street. If you are interested in moving, please, you know, let us know." And it worked. Someone emailed her and was like, "We're retiring, we're moving. You know, we want to work out a deal." And she moved to that house. So I said to you, I was like, because nothing is for sale in our area, in our price range. So I said to you, because we're downsizing. So, you know, and we have,
and we're very limited.
We're very limited because our high school system is where, you know, it's a very small area that goes to my daughter's high school, daughter's high school.
Nobody cares.
Okay, nobody cares. But we had to be in a certain area. So I said to you, why don't we drive? You drive around.
I was done.
I was like, you fucking deal with
the
it.
The royal we, where it's me.
So I said to you, why don't you drive around, put letters in people's mailboxes of houses that we might be interested in, and just see what happens.
Yeah, so I made up this little 5x7 postcard. I had it printed at Staples, and I went and picked it up. I put my mask on. I went into the store, picked it up, placed my order there. And
I was surprised they were open, actually. They have borderline essentials.
But they have essentials. They have home. They have toilet paper, and you know they have
so
cleaning
you.
Goods, and they
have paper towels and stuff.
Yeah,
the essential thing is a little bit.
Yeah, it's a gray area.
Yeah.
So I put these cards in these mailboxes, just hoping to hear something. Finally, I heard back from a few people, two of which turned into nothing, absolutely nothing. And one,
but it does go to show, like, go do that. If you want to move, you don't, just the house doesn't have to be listed. Like, go and, you know, take a chance.
Yeah, people who are planning to list and are waiting this quarantine out would love to, you know, transact with you because
transact,
who's...
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Good word?
Sure.
who wants to list a house and have people coming to their house right now? Like, nobody. Of course not.
So this family was amazing. Anyway, we're at a point now where we worked out a deal with them. We're in love with this house. It's adorable. It's, like, cottagey. It's everything we want. And so now I'm like, whereas before I was like staying up at late at night and all through the night saying, are we going to have somewhere to live? Now I'm like, please, 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 God, let this work out.
Yeah. Like if we were.
So the stress level is definitely multiplied by all of this, but we need to do it.
Well, the worst part about it is that you and I went to go see the house. We met the owners. They were very nice and hospitable.
Amazing.
And if we were looking at each other the whole time, if we were going to ever build a house, it's this fucking house.
Yes. We literally were outside and I was like, okay, the outside is nice, but like, what if the inside sucks and we can't renovate right now? And we walk inside and we're like looking at each other like, is this for fucking real?
Right.
It's adorable. And, you know, we're still downsizing, but it's a great situation.
But the whole time we were saying like, listen, if anything falls through, like, let's not get upset. We know we just went through with another house. We have to like come down to earth and then, you know, just make sure we know something can go wrong. But then we saw this fucking house. We're like, this is our fucking house. Mm-hmm. This is where we need to
be. So now my stress level is up again of I don't want to lose it. You know, listen, it adds to everything else going on. I'm a little jealous of people who are just in their house and it works for them and they're fine and they're paying their mortgage fine. And, you know, and everybody has their issue right now. And that's one of ours is that I'm sort of like, God damn, on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know this was coming. So I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming me. We didn't know this was coming. But on top of everything else, it is not a nice feeling of uncertainty to not know where we're going to be living in 3 months.
I know. But the thought of like moving to this house, in a perfect world, if everything works out, I'm so excited.
Yes. But we have no idea if it's, we will keep everybody updated, but we have no idea if it's going to work out. But it would be the most amazing situation if it does, but it might not.
Right.
So we will keep you all updated. So that's our update is that we might be moving, but you know, locally, but we might be moving. What has been the best thing about quarantine?
I think the best thing about being quarantined is I've always been kind of an introvert. I'm not really like I like to be in small social situations, so I miss my close friends that we see all the time. I can't wait to go see them again. But the fact that I have an excuse just to stay home and not have to interact and have to go out and do whatever I'm supposed to do, I'm kind of enjoying that. I'm kind of taking advantage of that. You know, like I've been binge watching tons of shows and just we have our time alone. Like I'm enjoying just kind of being lazy a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, at least like I said before, at least I have stuff to do. So I know I have things to do and that I'm going to be busy doing certain things, you know, for the podcast or, you know, working on the store website or all that stuff. But aside from that, I kind of like being lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the fact that it's okay to be lazy.
Yeah, there's like no choice to be lazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like I don't have to feel bad about it.
Yeah, and I feel like our kids have been sort of bonding. I'm loving not waking up early. I hate waking up at 6 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. and getting the kids on the bus. Like, I really do hate that. So I'm trying to appreciate that aspect of it, that there's no rushing for the bus right now. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of like fighting with the kids all day long about, okay, you've taken a 15-minute break. You need to do your work again. Like, there's a lot of being on top of that. Our daughter is super self-sufficient. She's in high school. I'm not on top of her at all. But our boys a little bit more. And that's been hard.
Wait, so what do you like about being
quarantined? I like not having to get them on the bus.
Okay.
I mean, our daughter's always been, she's super easy. She's so good about it. Mm-hmm. Our boys are a fucking pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And I like that aspect of it. Yeah, I love not having to, like, our son had his 12th birthday and we did the drive-by parade and people drove by and held up signs and stuff. I didn't have to fucking clean my house for anybody to come in it. I didn't have to order food for anybody to come in. I got a cake just for us. Like, there was no, like, I woke up that morning and I was like, our house is a mess, but who fucking cares? Because nobody's coming in it.
Yeah, but it was really cool too. Like, it was something that you would never do. Like, you would never have a birthday party of people driving by your house, honking the horns, having signs.
No, so it was kind of a unique, ideal.
It's not ideal, but it was a special, unique situation that I think.
No, it was very special.
For 1 year of his life, that's his birthday.
And he remembers that. Hopefully that's, 1 year.
I think he'll remember that more than his birthday party from 3 years ago.
Well, the question is going to be eventually with their kids and their grandkids, what was the coronavirus like? Our youngest son's teacher said to them, you know, there's a series for younger kids called I survived Titanic, I survived the Civil War, I survived all these times. And she's like, you're living through one of those I survived moments. And, you know, and the thing is going to be one day your kids and your grandkids are going to ask you, what was it like during that time? The same way, you know, we asked my parents when they were on our podcast, what was it like during Vietnam? What was it like when JFK was murdered? All these things. We are literally living through one of those things. You know, for us, it was 9/11.
Yeah.
But this is, I don't want to say it's worse. It's a different thing. But this is maybe longer. I don't know.
Look, a lot more people have died than 9/11.
Yeah. You know, 11 times over by now.
I mean, so
in our country.
This is just something that it's its own thing that we've never experienced. Like, we always compare it now to the Spanish flu back in 1912.
Like, that's 1912. No.
No, 1917.
No, 1918.
1918?
The flu of 1918.
Oh. All right, I was close.
No, you were not.
It was the same decade.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
but
good.
Like, people in 1912 were like, thank God there's no Spanish flu right now.
Well, they had no idea what was coming for the coronavirus in 2020.
But they, from 2020, know the Spanish flu of 1918.
Okay. Whatever year it was, fine. Who cares?
Oh, no big deal. When they look back in 100 years, are you going to be okay if they're like the coronavirus of 2032?
I don't know. Ask me in 100 years if I care about this.
Right.
But it's the closest thing that we can relate to about kind
no,
of
no, we
shutdown.
Can't relate to anything.
I'm saying that's the closest thing that this comes
as a health phenomena.
As a virus spread to this extent.
Right.
Right?
All right.
I think we're a little drunk. We should take another break.
Okay.
Let's sober up.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, I want to know one thing you've learned about yourself as a parent through this.
Something that I've learned about myself?
What the fuck? You're acting like you didn't answer these questions.
Well, I kind of didn't.
Oh.
I kind of read your questions.
I like literally sent these to you 4 days ago. Yeah. You're like, oof. What did I say?
First of all, it was yesterday. It wasn't 4 days ago.
Yeah. Feels like 4 days ago. Quarantine time.
Right. I haven't learned anything about myself. I think what I knew about myself was maybe exaggerated. Like the fact that I said we would get to this later. Like, I need to be constantly cleaning and cooking and doing all those other things around the house, which I like doing. But one thing that I've maybe has been exaggerated where nobody else does. I'm the only one who's doing.
Are you so regretting at this point that you did not marry a woman more like your mom?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I realize you're not going to say the truth because
right. We're
still quarantined together.
Exactly.
But is there a little part of you that's like, what the fuck did I do?
Well, we used to fight all the time about cleaning, how I wanted everything clean and spotless, and you know, and you didn't.
All right, you make it sound very cut and dry. I was doing a lot of other things.
I'm just saying how, like, I'm not OCD about cleaning. I'm not like with a toothbrush scrubbing the, you know, in between the tiles and the grout. I'm not doing that. But like the other day, like you posted a video of me. I shut off the kitchen.
I know. You put a jump rope. That was amazing.
I put a sign up saying kitchen closed. Yeah. Until further notice. And I completely like spot clean the entire kitchen, the counters, the floors. And then I opened up the kitchen, and then everybody came in, and their dirty spoons were on the counter, and that was the dirty. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I just spent an hour cleaning. Like, I felt like a 50s housewife, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Here I am, like, cleaning up for everybody, mm-hmm. cleaning up after everybody, and all you do is come
in. Oh, you've so been the household bitch.
I have. But the worst part is for me is that I kind of enjoy mm-hmm. doing it. So I'm not mad.
I don't want you going back to work at all.
I get frustrated sometimes. I get a little pissed off when I'm doing this and there's no respect whatsoever about everything that I'm doing. But I enjoy it. So
yeah,
you're welcome.
You really you have stepped up to the for sure. Like, okay, we've done many episodes before about all your shortcomings. I hate to say that, but you know, we've done the gambling episode and the isn't it supposed to be more beautiful than this and the guilt episode, and I think there are two kinds of responses, right? There are responses that say I'm a bitch and I shouldn't harp on those things, and there are responses that say why the fuck are you still with him? And the truth of everything is that people have their, you know, their strengths and their weaknesses, and they go through their good times and their bad times. And you have more than stepped up to the plate for this. And this has been, you have been, you know, a lot of times I hear people talk about, you know, when they post on Facebook about their spouse, he's my rock and he's my this. And there have been times in the past that I'm like, fuck you. Like, I'm the fucking rock in this situation. I am so not the rock.
Yeah,
in this situation.
I agree with you.
You are the rock in this situation. Yeah. You know, emotionally, I think when the kids need physical affection, it's me and all the, but you have been unbelievable through this.
Thank you.
And I'm super grateful and thank you. And it's been fun in so many ways. And I don't want you to go back to work, not just because you're my bitch, but yeah, because I like exactly. to be with you. And this has been, and we're good. I think we're good at balancing the time of letting each other go up and rest and coming back together and saying like, let's watch something or let's hang out or let's play a game. And it's been a good balance.
Well, I think it says a lot that we really have not been fighting at all during this whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of reason to fight during this. I think so, because this is what we used to fight about. This is,
right.
These were our big arguments. And for so many years it was, you know, understanding, okay, she's not clean. Like, I have to, you know, put that aside and realize the things that she does that is good. And I guess it was so many years of prep that led up to this point where I'm just like, okay, fine. This is what it is, you know? And
yeah, I think that the forgiveness right now is a huge aspect of things, of you forgiving me for being not on top of being clean, and you've been so forgiving of me feeling like I'm exhausted and needing to up and rest. And I think I've been forgiving of you for all the past shit you've put me through.
That was so long ago.
Because you're making up for it. Now, like, I think there's a big thing to be said right now for forgiveness and just being like, I need to find the reasons of like that I'm happy to be quarantined with this person.
Well, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Through all the shit that we've been through, the one thing that you said to me was you were dealing with so much shit at one point. You just want to be felt like a princess. You just want to be felt like you're being taken care of. Would you say that's happened?
Yeah, I think it took a quarantine to do it. But yes, I think that you being home, this has been an extraordinary situation for us.
I would think the answer would be yes.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people out there who are fighting, which I get. I think there are also a lot of people who are realizing, like, this is the benefit of my partner. And yes, I have been nothing but thankful and grateful for you being home. I've loved every second of it.
So you're saying, yes,
you've been amazing.
Treated like a princess.
Treated like a princess?
Oh, really?
Yes, you have. A princess? No, yes, you have stepped up. You've been amazing.
Oh, man.
I don't know. A princess, like, tours the world and stuff.
Okay.
I'm waiting for that. All right. Yes, no, you have been incredible. And there are reasons for all the people out there who have people out there saying to them, why have you stayed with your spouse? And you've known that there's a reason. And people don't understand it. Yes, I've always known that you are an incredible human being, and it's coming out right now.
Thank you.
Yes.
It just took a quarantine.
It just took a fucking coronavirus.
Do you want to get to some polls, or do you want to?
I was just going to say, like, what have you learned about me as a parent through all of this?
I just kind of explained all that.
Well, but I think that I've been like a loving parent.
If there's one thing to say, if there's one word to say to explain Danielle, it's loving.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And that's it. That's the only word.
I'm trying to see if there's any other questions that I wanted to say. Oh, have there been any celebrities or people that you're following or keeping in touch with that have been, like, really?
I don't do the celebrity thing, really. I've been watching Jimmy Fallon every day. I think he's doing, like, a really good job with his wife and his kids. I've been watching Stephen Colbert. I've been, enjoying watching that. But for me, no, like, it's not like one celebrity other than watching kind of the two of them. It's more just binge watching shows.
Do you want to address your hero, Elon Musk, at all?
No, I'm very disappointed. I'm not surprised.
People are finding out the truth about who their heroes are.
I'm not surprised. The guy is a very
quirky. Do you want to say a little about what he said? Or I know it's getting a little bit political, but I think anybody would be upset.
What
about
was his tweet? What are you saying?
Free America Now.
Free America Now. And then he had another one.
We're at 67. We're at May 2nd. I'm sorry. We're at May 2nd. 67,000 deaths in the United States. So there's nobody, if you're denying that there's an issue right now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He had another
you.
Tweet that said something like, I'm selling everything. No.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that.
It was just a bad situation.
Yeah, I know. Like, and I saw a lot of retweets and people commenting on what he said and saying, oh my God, my hero. And now he did this, and I get it. He's he's too smart for us.
No, quirky is not. That's not an excuse. No? It's no excuse. Right. Terrible. Yeah, I've been watching, and following Chelsea Handler. She's hilarious. I love her. I pretend that we're friends. I've made a few new friends from this, like during quarantine, where I've like connected with people. Well, we've had a lot of new celebrity followers from Instagram. We have a lot of new people and a lot of new celebrities following us. I think because everybody's home and they're, looking for content.
They're available.
They're looking for content. So that's been fun. But yeah, I have made a few really good friends from this. Just people who I didn't realize had the same political values as me and, believe in the same social issues that I do. There's been some really good things that have come out of this. My one thing that has been problematic for me, I'm not saying I don't agree with it. Of course, everyone should wear a mask. I am highly upset about the mask situation.
Oh, really? What do you mean?
I get really bothered by my friends posting like them in a mask on Facebook, and it really, and everyone should be wearing a mask. I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't wear a mask. Absolutely wear a mask. That saddens me.
I get that.
Because seeing the pictures of I love my friends' faces. I love seeing their faces. I love seeing their smiles. And that has been really hard for me to see the posts on Facebook and they're changing their profile pictures. I'm not saying don't do it at all. I get it. We have to do it. But that to me has been like a shot to the heart.
Yeah. I also think part of it is we never thought in America, like we always saw pictures of people in other countries and, you know, China or, you know, that people wear masks on a daily basis, you know, when the bird flu
came in New York City, you see the, you know, people wearing masks around.
And you look at them like, what are they doing? Like, why are they wearing them? You know, and now all of a sudden, no, this is America.
This is life. Yeah.
This is America.
America.
Now we as Americans have to wear masks and we have to like live like we've kind of looked at these other countries and like, what are they doing? Like, why are they... Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre, mm-hmm. and now that's us. So it's very bizarre for us to have to live like this now, and it's going to be for a long time.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully, there'll be a vaccine or a treatment or something. I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. I'm holding out for hope.
Well, at least the rest of this year.
And our son's sleepaway camp just contacted us yesterday and was like, "Yeah, that might not happen." So there's a whole lot of, and we have our nephew was supposed to graduate high school. You know, I have a lot of good friends whose kids were graduating high school, and I feel for all of them. And you know, just all the disappointments of what's happening, you know, all the disappointment of kids who were supposed to go and do things. And I feel for everybody because it's hard to even plan a summer right now.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have a summer. I don't like, we're not going to have a normal.
Yeah, I care about is that our kids see their friends. I want them to be able to see their friends. I think
we may have like a no more than 10 people at your house through the summer.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
listen,
me too.
I'm upset about concerts being canceled and you know, Broadway and all that stuff because I don't want people to be out of work. But at the same time, I get why that stuff needs to be. Mm-hmm. I just want to see the people I love. I want to see the people I love.
Well, speaking
I want
of
to
that,
hug them.
What do you want to do when this is over? What's the first thing you would do when this is...
Yeah, when this is over.
If they said everything's done, no worries, what would you do?
Oh, I'm going to physically attack all my friends. I'm going to physically attack all my friends. Right. I am going to... I miss my friends so much. I miss my sister. I miss my brother. I miss my sister-in-laws. I miss my brother-in-laws. Like, I miss... you know, I miss that connection and I can't wait to be able to be
you
want to
like tackle them. You want to like,
yeah, I want to tackle them. You know, even we have a friend who lives around the corner from us, who's a very good friend of ours, and we walk our dogs together and she and I are very physically affectionate with each other, and mm-hmm. not being able to hug each other and kiss each other right now is really hard. So
okay.
I'm excited for all of that. Yeah. What are your goals for the next couple of weeks? Like, what if the like quarantine does have its perks, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I think what it's enabled us to do is realize what's important. And if, you know, so many people are struggling right now financially and however else you're struggling, you realize, like, if it's financially, what's important to you? What are you spending your money on? Well, you know, is it just the essentials? And that's kind of what we've been doing. And I'm appreciating that. And I kind of want to keep that going. If this was to end tomorrow, I want to make sure we're still doing that. Because even though, like, I have no income, and I haven't for 2 months, I'm on unemployment making a quarter of what I was making before. We're still doing okay. Because we're not spending money where mm-hmm. we shouldn't be. And we're still affording our life, you know, our daily or monthly lifestyle. And I want to continue. I haven't been stressed, and I should be more stressed about money. I really mm-hmm. should. And I haven't been as stressed because it's not being pissed away in all different directions that I
yeah,
can't
the
even
only,
follow.
The only money I've been spending really is on like I brought a bunch of my friends have parents who live in the same elder, like 55 and over community as my parents. So every time I go and I bring my parents stuff, I try to drop off to my friends' parents, you know, like a little treat or something because they can't go to the stores mm-hmm. and get.
Yeah, but it's funny because it's exciting to be like, I got toilet paper. I can, you know, I got the toilet
no,
paper.
No, when I got to, I when got I, every, anytime I get to text my friends and I'm like, I brought your parents bagels. They're like, holy shit.
Right.
Thank you. Like, you're the fucking bomb. And I'm like, dude, it was just bagels. They're like, I know they haven't had bagels in 3 weeks. And, you know, it's like just little things like that are, and we've all come together and done stuff. It's been kind of beautiful in so many ways.
Yeah, it's so funny how now, like, we used to be excited for packages to come every day because it was something fun that we bought.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, look, the Swiffer pads came.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we got Lysol and yeah. And your mom has been fantastic. She's been like cooking and delivering. And listen, we're all doing what we can do.
Yeah.
But all through this, our community who have been messaging me and everything, we have gotten thousands of messages. I am doing my best to get through all of them. It is slow. If you have not,
I'll do it.
No, you will not.
I'll be happy to do it.
I am trying my best to get through all of it. I read every single message. It just because I haven't gotten back to you doesn't mean I haven't read your message. It means I am trying so hard to work through them. I see you all. I love you all. It is May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I see every single one of you. I love every single one of you. We are in this together. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast, we would love for you to do that. We'd be so grateful. And yeah, we're just so grateful to you for sticking through us with this. And
so I guess we'll do like a separate
with us.
Little bonus episode with all the polls.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about the polls.
Too late.
It's
too late. It's too long.
Fuck.
But it's okay. We'll do a second episode.
Okay,
so we'll do an extra episode for the week.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And we have time. Should we
not
take
really.
Another break?
Nah. No. No, we're an hour in.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're boring.
We'll do let's do another episode.
Okay. We'll do a separate episode.
Separate
okay.
Because there's so much. I mean, we could do a whole episode of
this. Right.
Those polls.
Shit, I forgot about that.
That's okay.
Okay. Okay. So everyone stay well. Reach out to your neighbor. Ask somebody if they're okay. We're all in this together. We love you and have a great week.
Wait. Oh. Do you have a favorite memory so far while we were quarantined?
So my favorite memories, I would say, are we've been watching movies with the kids at night.
Yeah.
I'm going to put out a list. Some people have been asking for a list of movies that were our must-sees for our kids. Yeah, we watched Defending Your Life last night. Yeah, I think our kids have been fighting, but it also been completely bonding, which has been amazing. I'm also finding that I really like the people we're raising.
I know.
Yeah, we're raising really good people.
Kids.
They're I also fucking hate them.
Yeah.
Like 100% I hate them. They suck.
And each for their own reason.
Yes, they all suck. I fucking hate them. They should all go find their own place. But at the same time, they're really good people.
I think my favorite thing that we've done is our casino that we
yes,
set up.
We set up a
we
casino.
Turned our pool table into a craps table.
Yes.
We set up a blackjack table, roulette.
Yes, that was super.
I think that's going to be
that
a memory.
Tonight again.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been a memory that no one's ever going to forget.
All right, let's
here.
Do that again.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig. Stamps.com.